Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
What's up, guys? We got a new location. I'm sitting on my bed today because I'm recording it during the daytime. But thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate it. Dude, I could be talking to like two people right now. But good news, I saw 34 Spotify followers. So it went up by like two, three, which is so cool. But we are going to go through everything from week one of the artist date, not the artist date, the artist way. We're going to go through everything from the artist way. Yeah, I think this is going to be a really long podcast. I can't lie. It's going to be a little bit longer, but this is all like really good things to know about yourself, about creativity. Like I would definitely recommend tuning in to this one. You can put it on 1.5, 2x speed. Just remember to switch it back because, like, I always play the podcasts, like the Subway Chapel Row and like podcast thing. But I was listening to a podcast in 1.5, so I started playing the Subway in 1.5. Anyways, okay, so The Artist Way, very interesting book. It reminded me a lot of this hypnotherapy that I did when I used to be a swimmer. I did it as an athlete to help me with my self-confidence, and it reminds me a lot about that. Some good themes of like self-confidence at the basis of it. We're going to jump right in. So there is creative energy everywhere. Oh yeah, just to say, I'm looking at my notes. Like my notes are like right here because I can't remember everything. There's creative energy everywhere. And she defines this as, I think it's a she, I don't have the book on me, like the author. She defines this as good, orderly direction or flow. It reminds me of when you get into those flow states and when you kind of lock in. It reminds me of like, that's how you tap into that creative energy, you know? And she says that it's our true nature, marked as normal, but also miraculous. And just like any body part, it is something that you got to invest in. It's part of your spiritual body. So you got to put some work into it. She says that it's never too late or too egotistical or too selfish or too silly or too anything to start working on your creativity. And this really reminds me of what my like business program teacher, he used to tell me that, you know, creativity is so important in anything that you do. And he would like emphasize learning about creativity. Because he was saying, you know, we've become too accustomed to the way that school wants us to think in traditional ways. So it was a very cool callback, very cool things I remember. Anyways, she compares the universe to a floating sea, and that, you know, all this energy is just floating around in the ocean. And when you tap into creativity, it's able to ground you until it becomes, you know, something that was once moving freely and bobbing in the ocean. Let's say you had no role in this oceanic ecosystem. When you tap into creativity, it's able to ground you until you become something that is fully functioning, fully conscious, and integrated into that ecosystem. Now, I'm not going to jump into how deep that metaphor is, but I think it was a really good way to make an understanding of what she means by creative energy and whatnot. And she says, when you tap into creativity too, it's a creative alliance between the artist and the energy that is out there. So when you make changes to your creativity, you create synchronicity. So that was a synchronicity. So basically, when we change, when we make an effort to change, the universe furthers and it expands that change for us, so we're able to experience new and more interesting things. Dude, take a shot every single time I say creative. Okay, there's basic principles. Now, I don't really know if it's worth delving into all 10 of these. Maybe I'll just like take a look and read one that makes sense or like looks pretty important. Let's see. Oh, here. Number two, there's an underlying indwelling creative force infusing all of life, including ourselves, which I think is super cool. When we open ourselves up to creativity, we open ourselves to the universe's creativity within us and our lives. Sorry, my throat is really dry. Let's see. Oh, the refusal to be creative is self-will and is counter to our true nature. This goes back to saying that everyone is creative. We just think in different ways. Everyone has their own different approach, but everyone is creative in their own unique way. Oh, I like this one. Our creative dreams and yearnings come from a divine source. As we move towards our dreams, we move towards our divinity. That could be, really optimistic for some people, but I really like that quote. And that's why I keep doing these podcasts, because I'm like, I keep coming back to it. Maybe this is my creative dream. A good way to tell if you're creatively blocked is jealousy, actually. If you find yourself comparing, your work to someone else or saying, I could totally do that if only I had, these resources. That's how you can tell you're creatively blocked, because you got to stop telling yourself that it's too late to do something, or that you don't have the resources to do something, or you don't have your dreams don't matter, because you're able to, I don't know, record yourself on your phone. Let's say that, right? If you don't have a computer, you could start recording yourself on your phone, making videos, and that's your creativity, Sorry, oh my gosh, my throat is so dry. Okay, next, I learned about censors. This is our inner critic, because we tend to criticize ourselves so freaking much. There's this internalized perfectionist that is residing in the left side of the brain. But to tackle your censors, to tackle your inner critic, or the person that constantly criticizes you, you know how they always say, like, oh, like, you are your own biggest enemy? Like, that's basically what she's saying. Always remember that your censor's negative opinions are not the truth. Yeah. So, touching more on the left side of the brain, this is what we call the logic brain. It thinks in a categorical way. Just think like linear fashion. It perceives the world by dissecting things into groups. And I talked about this before, I think, in another podcast of mine, about how there is a lot of people tend to perceive the world as black and white, right? So when we don't know something that is the gray area, we can't define it. We don't know what it is. So we become scared. And this is the same exact kind of logic. So she's saying that the left side of her brain, it was part of our survival brain in the past. And it bases things on known principles and facts. So let's say, if I don't brush my teeth are gonna get plaque and rotten. So when we don't brush our teeth, we perceive it as wrong, as dangerous, as something that's gonna harm us. That's like, basing your, I don't know, your actions off of something that is known. And the logic brain can sometimes be our sensors, because when they see things that they haven't experienced before, we can perceive it as wrong. We can perceive it as dangerous. And now we're going to move on to the right side of our brain. That's that kind of, I don't know, loops into the artist brain. So this is our inventor. This is our inner child. It's kind of like that one professor that seems to not have it all together, but does at the same time. It's like, very scatterbrained, but not scatterbrained, but also like very big dreamer and thinker. And this part of the brain puts odd things together. It thinks in patterns and shapes rather than linear, and categories. So when the new brain, or the artistic brain works, it makes new connections by putting images together and invoking meaning out of them. Does that make any sense at all? Like, I feel like I'm just rambling at this point. I wish there was a way for people to say, like, yes, like your podcast is good, like it makes sense, because I'm just literally talking to myself. So, anyways, yeah, so the right side of the brain, it's taking, you know, these images, it's taking these experiences and kind of blending them together to create meaning in certain things. But the logic brain is taking the factual stuff, it's taking the known principles and creating meaning out of that. So what this all means is that any original thought that you have can be perceived as a threat to the logic brain or our sensor. So I don't know. I'm sure somebody has thought of wearing, you know, something with something, socks with sandals. Like when that never existed, someone was like, what if I put two and two together? The logic brain will be like, don't do that. It's wrong. It's dangerous. I've never seen that before. I've never seen anybody wearing that before. So obviously it's not supposed to exist. But I mean, I think socks with sandals is chill. Like, if I'm just gonna go get groceries and stuff like that, you know? But yeah, that's how the two brains kind of interact. So the only thing that the artist brain. Wait, what did I even write? Oh, okay. Sorry. The logic brain only likes sentences, paintings, photographs, outfits, things in general. The logic brain only likes things that it has recognized before and deems as safe. That is why a lot of the times, you know, we're really scared to start these creative journeys and creative outlets because we've never, first of all, maybe we've never seen somebody do this, or we've never seen a profession made out of it, or we've never seen something like this period exist in the world. And I guess we'll talk about these before the rest. And that kind of forces us to hold back our work. Hold back our creative stuff that we make. And this is what we call shadow artists. So these are people who gravitate towards their creative dreams, but can't claim their birthright as an artist or a creative. So what I mean by this is, let's say, you know, someone really wants to be a film director and they choose to do law instead, but
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's MOOD.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker: the quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to mood.com. That's MOOD.com to get started.
Deep down, they love film. They have a passion for film. That is being a shadow artist because they are not gravitating towards their. Or they gravitate towards their creative dreams, sure, in like a hobby, but they can't claim it as a director itself. And I totally understand. There's like different situations, everyone's got different situations, different resources, different things going on in their life that cause them to, you know, retreat or cause them to stray away. Like sometimes we don't even have a choice. And I totally understand that. But sometimes, you know, when you do have a choice, this is where people can gravitate towards being a shadow artist. And yeah, I'm gonna see what else. Shadow artists, they, what is it? A lot of the times, they need to learn how to let themselves play. And what we mean by play is be creative, creativity, right? We define creativity as play, But for shadow artists, sometimes the hardest part is actually learning how to allow themselves to play. And I feel like I experienced this a little bit when I was, I guess back in high school, like I was very much, I need to get all A's. I need to get this, 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 this. And that is a very good goal to have, very good, you know, academically driven. But it was hard for me to think, you know, I don't know, out of the box sometimes, let loose a little and be creative. So that was, I guess that is what she's kind of saying. And then another thing is that audacity, not talent, is what differentiates a person between an artist and a shadow artist. Or, you know, it moves the artist from the center of the, from the back of the stage to the center of the stage. So what she means by this is that a lot of the times we get scared to put our work out there because it's not perfect. It's not the best. It's not, you know, deemed as, you know, art or something worth value. So those that have the audacity to go ahead and put their work out there, put themselves out there, put their name out there, those that have the audacity to do that is what moves the artist from the back of the stage to the center of the stage. And that's essentially what I'm trying to do here with these podcasts. Like, I don't know, one person might listen to the entire thing in full. One person might listen to this podcast or click on the link, but I'm still trying to put my stuff out there. So I really encourage you to put your work out there if you've ever created anything, or even it doesn't even have to be anything of art or creativity. It can be, I don't know. Well, actually, yeah, that's considered an art, like a publication or like a writing or like a song or a video or a, I don't know, pictures, an Instagram post, like any of those things are super cool. But all of that ties back to what I've been saying before, that hard work always beats talent. And, you know, maybe we can parallel the two. Hard work is, you know, equal to audacity, meaning that you're willing to get outside of your comfort zone, put in the extra work to do something, put in the work that will outbeat talent any day. And if you haven't heard me make this analogy before, just think of two people starting a race. One person is racing in the hard work lane. One person is racing in the talent lane. It's like the tortoise and the hare. The hard work will start off below the talent because it has no talent. But once the hard work picks up the skills, talent and hard work become equal. After that, it's fair game. But instead, hard work chooses to show up to practice every single day. But talent knows that it's already naturally good. So talent doesn't know that hard work is catching up. And in the end, hard work will surpass talent. That's kind of a value that I live by. Obviously, when you combine talent and hard work together, you get like, I don't know, freaking Olivia Rodrigo. But hard work will always be talent any day of the week. There are also many activities. We're going to jump into that section now. Activities as to what I did in the week. You can choose, I think there's like 10, but you can choose 5, 4, as many as you want to do. So there's two required ones every single week: morning pages and an artist date. Morning pages are 3 pages of brain dump, literally anything that you want to write about. Free flow, no grammar, no comprehensiveness. It's just getting your own inner thoughts out first thing in the morning. And this is to eradicate any self-doubt, any negative things that you have about yourself when you wake up, because you don't want to be carrying that baggage throughout the day. So actually, it's weird, very weird. I had a situation come up where I'm being so dramatic, bro. It sounds so funny. I felt insecure about some Instagram pictures that I took in my outfit. I know, and you must be like, Kyle, like, what the hell, bro? There's like, I don't know. There's other things to worry about, bigger fish to fry. I know there are. But I was just feeling a little insecure that day, and I really didn't know how to process it because I've never felt that way about being photographed before. But the next morning, I got up, I wrote my morning pages, and I tried to not figure out what was wrong, but just say, this is how I'm feeling. this is why I think I'm feeling this way. And you know, and I'm gonna really encourage myself now to not feel that way again. And it's easier for some people than others to get out of that state, get out of that slump. For me, it was more just like getting it out of my head. Because I won't lie, like I've had past hypnotherapy, like therapy work, where I've really tried to hone in on my self-confidence and figure out how to get out of those slumps. So obviously it's different for everybody. But yeah, that was just an example of how the morning pages can be used. The next thing is an artist date. So this is a chunk of time out of the week for you to go and do something by yourself, only by yourself, no one else. And it's something that you should enjoy or, you know, find creativity in, because when you break normal routines, when you can kind of discover some new things about yourself, about the world, about different things that will inspire your creativity. Some other activities that it was just more like writing, list your old enemies of your self-worth. So I had to list three people, not going to name them because that's crazy. But list three enemies of your self-worth, what they did, why you feel like it's kind of why you feel like they injured your self-worth. And then another one was you got to write a piece of encouragement to yourself in the future. So I just wrote, you know, a little letter talking about the things I wanted to achieve, who I was going to be in a couple years or in the future. And then the last one was five other lives that you want to live. Like if you had five other professions or like career pathways, what would you be? And I thought all of those were super interesting. Yeah. This is, I feel like I'm rambling again. Like, who is going to listen to this? Anyways, that is everything that I learned this week. And, oh my God, I feel a burp. Sorry, I burped. I burped and my throat is also dry. I should probably drink water before. So that's everything that I had this week, which is a lot for week one. But I don't know, like if you were really considering like trying this book out, I would recommend it. It reminds me a lot, I can't lie, it reminds me so much of the hypnotherapy work that I did when I was a swimmer, and that stuff helped me so much. So this is more self-driven stuff where you gotta be very dedicated to doing this by yourself. Obviously the hypnotherapist helped me with my, you know, sessions, stuff like that, but this is very much reliant on you. But I really recommend it if you are anybody that is in the space of creativity, then that is literally everyone. If you just want to think differently, like doesn't matter if you're, I don't know, someone, you know, a professional potter, is that what they call them, like pottery? A professional potter. It doesn't matter if you're a professional potter or if you're a professional painter or if you're a PM or if you're a software engineer. Like this will help you think differently about the world. And I'm trying to think, well, like, okay, PM, let's say that example. I want to go into that. I want to go into that in the future. And as a PM, you got to think differently. You got to think, how can I improve this? What things don't exist that I am missing? What everyday steps can be eliminated with a tool? So again, I feel like this book can be applied to a lot of different things in your life. And that's another thing. Oh my gosh, I'm just rambling at this point. That's another thing that you can also take is like any situation that you're in, adapt. Think, okay, how can I relate this back to myself? How can I use this experience to benefit me? So obviously I want to take this podcasting and social media more seriously. So I'm using this kind of creative book to learn how to do that, how to become more comfortable in myself, how to put my work out there. But you can be like the software engineer example. I said, okay, well, you want to create something, you want to code something that's different, never done before. How are you going to do that? How are you going to think differently? Yeah, so that pretty much wraps up everything that I wanted to go over in this podcast. that was only week one, guys. So I got 11 more weeks, and I am looking forward to making these podcasts every week, just as a recap. And if you made it to the end, I thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me when you make something, you spend like an hour or two making something and you put it out there and it's appreciated. It was so cool. Someone actually texted, not texted me, someone commented on my TikTok and they said, "Keep making your podcast. I learn English from you." And I was like, "What the heck? How you learn English from me? Like, that's crazy." But anyways, yeah, if you're doing something creative, keep it up. Don't let your own inner critic or your censors get to you. You have the power to do everything. You're powerful. You are intelligent. You're kind. You can do anything that you set your mind to. And I hope you have a great next week. And I'll see you again for week two. Yeah. But that's all I got. Peace out, guys. Peace out.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.